This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, a partner of Wes Durham. He's up there in beautiful Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Wes, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pack. Good to be with you, and excited to be here on a Thursday. We got a great show. Paris Ford coming up in this hour. Jordan Wara, the Louisville star who's headed to the NBA, and also Duke assistant basketball coach Nolan Smith, who has played a prominent role in some of the protests for social justice and racial equality in the Durham area. Looking forward to talking to N. Smitty on Twitter before we're done here at 10 o'clock this morning.
We also have an announcement to make during the second hour, which we'll get to as well. And we've got a new segment that we're going to incorporate today on the show, our video mailbag. And listeners, watchers can be a part of the show. You can actually make your television debut on the program. And all you have to do is ask us a question. It could be anything. It doesn't matter what it is. But you have to videotape this. If you do it on your phone, we want you to do it horizontally. This is what horizontally looks like. This is vertical. This would be horizontal, okay? I'm just telling you, we're not trying to be critical. We want you guys to be a part of what we're doing here. So we're going to try something new, something different. And so if you want to be a part of the show and make your debut, you can ask us a question. It could be creative. It could be straightforward. It's totally your call. But if and when you do it, this is how we want you to shoot it. This way on your phone, not this way. Okay? Just want to pass that on. And hashtag Packer and Durham, right?
Yeah. Hashtag Packer and Durham, very important part of that process. And I'm glad you got the geometry worked out on that for me.
I got that part. We're good. All right, we've got some serious business to attend to leading off, but I want to just start off because it's a morning show. It's supposed to be light. We don't want to, you know, absolutely beat you up with too much information. But we had fun with this yesterday, all right? We brought out the infamous Big Four Tournament 1980 edition, and we kid around with some ads that are in here just to just show you where the world is. And there's one I want to lead off with today, Wes, on a light note before we get into serious business. And the last time you and I had done a show till we went live beginning last week was at the Greensboro Coliseum, right? We'll never forget it. Friday, March 13th.
Actually, Friday we were in studio, Pack. Thursday we were in the Coliseum.
Actually, I thought Friday morning we were in the Coliseum. You're sure about that? You're 100% sure that on Friday, March the 13th, we were not in the Coliseum?
Yes.
All right. So,
because Lars Tiffany joined us on the March 13th show, and he was in studio. He was at Virginia, and you and I were sitting in the basement.
Okay, fair enough. I apologize. Seems to be a popular thing lately. I apologize for being wrong. All right. So, in the 1980 Big Four basketball tournament mag. The Greensboro Coliseum.
This thing is awesome.
The Greensboro Coliseum gets an ad, all right? And why not? They're a host. A mark of excellence in the world of sports, Wes. The sensation of the 70s. The Greensboro Coliseum. The Southeast major sports arena. Maximum seating, 16,800. 15,500 for basketball. And here are the perks. Wait a minute. Here are the perks.
Wait.
Fully air conditioned. What's the matter?
Wait, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that the 1980 Big Four tournament?
Yes.
And it says the Greensboro Coliseum was the sensation of the 70s?
Right.
Okay.
That's what it says right here. That's what it says right here. But here are the perks of the new Greensboro Coliseum of 1980. Fully air conditioned. Unlike in the 70s where, hey, we only gave you air in the lower deck, and if you're in the upper deck, hey, man, you had to sweat it out. Fully air conditioned. We got ourselves.
Not to mention smoking in the upper deck.
You got it. We have a new scoreboard, lighting system, and public address facilities, not to mention 3,500 paved and lighted parking spaces. It doesn't get any better than the sensation of the 70s, the Greensboro Coliseum. How about that? You know what else I remember?
By the way,
Go ahead.
Do you think that program, by the way, is full color or just like two color? Because I see a lot of red in ads that we've gone through.
They use the color of the big four schools. So we got some red.
Oh, okay.
We got some Carolina blue. Don't see any gold or yellow. And
Occasionally, once again, held down.
Again, the Deeks, you know. And then, of course, we got Lou from yesterday wearing every color in the spectrum. In those pants.
I did not. By the way, update. I did not hear from Lou Pasillo yesterday. I thought for sure somebody would call Lou Pasillo, the great NC State player, whose jersey, by the way, is in the rafters at PNC. And I never heard from Lou Pasillo yesterday. Really disappointed I didn't do that. I may have to call him today just to let him know he's made the show.
I was going to mention to you, and when I saw that ad yesterday, I started thinking about old times going over the Greensboro Coliseum for the Big Four, ACC tournaments, all that stuff. I still remember, because I used to sit in the upper deck. I didn't have any lower deck seats. I was in the upper deck. As a knucklehead, they used to have, and for folks that are as old as we are, maybe you will remember this, but the Greensboro Coliseum used to have great pizza. I don't know if you remember the old, and they used to have like, hey, we're going to make it right here for you, like you were at a Pizza Hut or some brick oven, and they would open it up.
Cat throwing dough and all that.
No doubt.
Slicing it.
Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Man, those pizzas were great at the Greensboro Coliseum. And they were way ahead of their time. I'm surprised that wasn't part of the fully air-conditioned and 3,500 paved and lighted parking spots.
I'm trying to remember, was a slice a dollar?
Yeah, it was cheap. And then you could either get it cheese or pepperoni. And the pepperonis were the size of dollar bills. The pepperonis had to be at least this big. But, I mean, greasy, and they had the wax paper. So good.
Oh, and they give it to you on the wax paper, and you had to, like, get it to your seat without suffering a second-degree burn on your hand.
Exactly right. But, of course, you try eating it, and, of course, you got burns on your mouth, you got burns on your hand. But, man, as a kid, you couldn't wait to get a double slice and go up the steps of your seat. But, nevertheless, we got to get serious.
That's funny.
Yeah. You remember? It just dawned on me, those pizzas at the Greensboro Coliseum.
By the way, the biggest news of the day yesterday was actually a follow-up to a story we had last week, and that is the NCAA Division I Council approved the 6-week practice plan for football to return in late August. So if you have a week zero game, essentially, you now have that July 13th start date, rather. So, yeah, I mean, a week zero team can start July 13th, a week one team July 20th. So the 6-week practice plan is in place for most of major college football on the Division I level. I will note we had an HBCU game scheduled for week two. The Southern Heritage Football Classic in Memphis got scrapped yesterday between Jackson State and Tennessee State. But that being said, the NCAA Council approved this 6-week practice plan. And Mark, this hits all the dates we talked about last week, in terms of padded practices and things like that. And it kind of gives them a little bit of a break between the voluntary workouts and quote the original start time. So here's the required workouts, the enhanced training 11 days later, preseason camp on August the 7th. And, you know, we heard coaches early in the pandemic say 8. Some said they needed 6. Others thought they could do it in 5, and here is what ended up as the final number. So,
I think at the end of the day, Wes, assuming there is not some type of stoppage between June 18th and go time, I think that will be suffice for everyone. Now, let's keep in mind, some folks got a chance to maximize spring. Some had a chance to get zip done in the spring. That's over and done with. You can't worry about it. It's rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. Now is your plan. Again, almost every single coach I've had a chance to talk to during the pandemic, whether we're talking ACC or from a national perspective, talked about the fact that, hey, once we get into a rhythm, those guys are so used to a routine, players, coaches, you name it, that they just want to be able to know that, hey, okay, that's what we're going to work with. Great. Let's move on. Whether we add spring practice or not, again, there's nothing you can do about all that. But to me, this is great news. When it was announced originally, that this was the recommendation. I thought it was a great sign for college football. Now that the NCAA has officially said, hey, check, we're going to move forward with this. Mm-hmm. This is great news. Now, whether fans are going to be in the stands, I have no earthly idea. I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure ADs and commissioners could tell you the answer to that question today. But from a coach's perspective, player's perspective, and even fans, I think this is incredibly great news. And, again, I still believe we're going to have a regular season on time. And at least I'm going to knock on wood. And hopefully when we get to Labor Day weekend, it's time to kick the pig and let's see where it goes.
Hey, by the way, and you read as much as anybody I know on the topics of college sports, and I've heard just in passing the numbers, but is the most preseason practices or the most spring practices conducted before the shutdown? I've heard the number five. I haven't heard more than five or six. I think maybe six one time, five another time. But everybody else either hadn't started or nobody had more than that, correct?
Yeah, it's just a handful that really kind of got an advance on everybody in terms of the spring. And, mm-hmm. and listen, in a perfect world, everybody would have loved to have had it. But guess what?
Right.
We're not in a perfect world. So there's no need to whine about it. I'm not saying that coaches are, but I just think that this plan, which was announced yesterday, gives every single program in the country, regardless if your state is ahead of the other ones or whether, which is another separate issue. But at least if you're a coach and a player, you understand what your plan is moving forward. And, you know, everybody's right. going to get basically 6 weeks here to get your work done. So there's no need to complain about what did or didn't happen in February, March, and April. You know exactly what you need to do in July and August. And like I said, I think this is a really, really positive good news for all parties involved.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think the other part, too, is remember now that we've got some structures in place that have been administrated by individual institutions, but also some conference guidelines, all those conference calls, all those Zoom meetings we talked about from the month of April certainly have helped facilitate that. Not everybody is going to be exactly the same when it comes to the details of bringing kids back on campus and the way they administrate testing and guidelines and quarantining and all that. Positive tests may lead to something else, those type deals. But I think on the whole, everybody's operating from the same structure, which is really important. Second part of this is we are going to have a positive test occur in the month of August leading up to kickoff. The question is, how many of those positive tests are going to occur? What does the contract tracing lead to? What does all that type scenario play out? It's going to happen. I mean, the numbers are there. We've already seen the reports of positive tests, the ratio of positives to number of testing, things of that nature. It's just too big a hurdle to think you're going to go clean. If we do and get through this cleanly, then bless us all. But, Pac, I got to be honest with you. I think we have to be prepared to understand that there's going to be some bumps along the way in this, and it may last all the way through the 2020 season, I think. But if we get the 2020 season in, that's a win for everybody. It's far better than sitting on the sideline not watching ball games, for sure.
There's definitely going to be a bumpy road. This is not going to be A to Z in a piece of cake. It's not. And we've talked about the Atlantic Coast Conference with 10 different states in the footprint, and I'm including Notre Dame in that conversation because of the Irish and the scheduling with ACC teams. That's the state of Indiana. Like, for example, the Pac-12. Their kids have finally got the green light on June the 15th this week to go. But you know what? The state of California, they're not ready for it. So you got schools like UCLA and SC and Stanford and Cal that right now are behind schedule versus other members within their league. So, again, the ACC footprint with 10 states, like I said, what works in Indiana may not work in the state of Florida. What works in Georgia might not work in Virginia. So that's going to be part of it, too, as we move forward. But at least the big picture, again, this is not going to be one size fits all, but the rule that was passed yesterday is one size fit all, that you know exactly what your timeline is as far as workouts, walkthroughs, practice sessions, and you know you're going to get 6 weeks to get your work in. So, again, we will move forward. There's no perfect solution here, but I thought that was great, great news for everybody that loves college football yesterday by the NCAA.
Absolutely right. Don't forget Paris Ford, the hard-hitting safety of the Pitt Panthers, coming up bottom of the hour. You can submit mailbag questions. You got to do it by video. And how do you do it again, Pac? What is that? We're going to go horizontal with this. We're not going vertical, right?
Yeah, I want folks to understand, if you want to be a part of it, all you have to do, again, hashtag Packer and Durham, but when you take the video, don't take it this way, all right? And the reason for it is television. We want you to do it this way. I like that. That would be horizontal. That'd be vertical. Right. Just want to help folks out on that.
All right, submit your mailbag questions. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham on Twitter. And we will also visit with Paris Ford, bottom of the hour. But when we come back, we've talked about head coaches in ACC football. What about their staffs? No major changes at some of the favorites, but there are a couple of details that we need to dive into. We'll do that. Packer and Durham on a Thursday morning on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live, ESPN app, SiriusXM 371, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program.
Did you have a little fog down there this morning, by the way?
Yeah, it was brisk, a little rain this morning, a little drizzle, a little British Open, a little knockdown five iron kind of weather. Wes, slight breeze, keep it low. That's what we had.
Had some fog here in Chapel Hill, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, it came rolling in off the Hall River or whatever you want to say. I don't care.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That's your world up there. By the way, before we get to our next segment, is dear old mom doing okay for folks that know?
Mom is, Miss Jean, thank you, is doing fine. We are making progress on a long-awaited knee replacement. And Dr. Michael Bolognese has been an incredible rock star in this whole process, and so is my mom. But yeah, she's doing great. She was still coaching my brother Taylor and I up yesterday on some of the things we were getting done at the house. So that led me to believe that things were almost normal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, she's already had enough of both of you. She's ready to get both of you out of the house. I can tell the tone and the body language with that answer that Miss Jean's had enough of both of you. Just get lost. I got this thing covered. But thoughts and prayers for your mom. Hope everything's going to be all
right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Let's do a little, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Coaching staffs in the ACC when it comes to the college football world. We touched base on a couple of them this week, especially with the newbies that we got, right? We got Mike Norvell down there at Florida State and Jeff Hafley up there at Boston College. And I'm intrigued to see both of them this year, in action in terms of the teams and what they deliver styles. Again, I think both programs are probably in a different place, compared to each other, but it's still intriguing to watch new blood in the league and how it's going to interact. But the rest of the league, Wes, when we go through this list with offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators within the league, anybody jump out at you that you say, hey, you know what, that dude right there, that's a future head football coach right there? Because we've got a couple in this league, in my opinion.
Oh, no question. I think that I think you got to go beyond. I mean, we all know that Brent Venables and Tony Elliott are sensational, right? I mean, we know those guys have done it at a very high level for Clemson. Jeff Scott was there, obviously now the new head coach at South Florida. Pac, you know where I found myself drifting here is a couple different directions. One, I think if you're looking for future head coaches, right, if you're looking for guys who potentially one day could be lead guys, I think you got to look at I think you got to start with like a Sterling Gilbert, obviously, who's going to be the OC at Syracuse, who's a guy that's got obviously a tremendous offensive pedigree. I think what Robert Anai has done at Virginia and Nick Howell and Kelly Papenga on the defensive side, that staff continuity, I think, has been really, really important for what Bronco Mendenhall's success has been. And I'll also go from Anai on the offensive side, Howell and Papenga, the co-DCs on that side. I will then shift and tell you that I think a guy like Dave Clawson's had the benefit of Warren Ruggiero being at his side on the offensive side. And remember now, we've gone Mike Elko eventually to Lyle Hempel on the defensive side at Wake Forest. And I think, too, I go back to teams that have kind of built that continuity a little bit, built some degree, had the patience to develop their football teams. In terms of guys who I think can be head coaches one day, I mean, you know how I feel about Matt Guerrieri at Duke, who works with Ben Albert on the defensive side.
I thought that might be the first name that you were going to mention because you love that guy. You really think that guy, young, energetic, thinks out of the box. Yep. He's one of those guys, a short list in some AD's office that's sitting there going, hey, one of these days, if I'm looking for a young guy that just kind of connects with young people and can really X and O, that's the dude.
Yep. No question. And I think to a degree, let's talk about David Cutcliffe, who's now double figures as a head coach, right, in the ACC. And David Cutcliffe has the ability with a guy like Zach Roper where he's had some continuity there. Ben Albert and Matt Guerrieri have also developed. Has Duke been as successful ultimately as maybe a Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama? No, but the reality of it is they've developed guys. And remember, Jim Knowles was the defensive coordinator there for a long, long time, right? And Coach Knowles went to Oklahoma State and so forth. But you're starting to think about just the coaching development. We talk about player development all the time, but you and I know we talk to enough athletic directors and enough people that move and shake and coaching hires on football and basketball. Coaching development is as important as player development in some respects with these staffs.
One other guy that I would throw on that list, just because I thought he was impressive before he showed up in the ACC, is Jay Bateman. And I thought his impact in year one was terrific in Chapel Hill. And I again, we're not trying to get anybody. If you're a head football coach, like, man, I wish these two morons in the morning wouldn't mention my assistant coaches because I'm going to keep them. But I think Jay Bateman could be a head football coach soon. I think he is a brilliant mind in terms of, hey, here's how we're going to position. And granted, you got to have really good players to have great success. I understand how all that works. But in this kind of question that we're throwing on folks right now, I think if you think of teams that you say, you know what, they maximize their talent, that's where I think you got to connect the dots and go, who are the guys that are able to do that? I mean, I know the head coach is really the CEO, but the guys who are the offensive and defensive corners, and even deeper than that, who are the gentlemen that all of a sudden can figure out a way that, hey, we might have lost seven starters, but guess what? They don't miss a beat, and yet they still go out and compete, even if they're not getting four- and five-star talent. And I think there's a number of those kind of guys that fall into that category in this league and around the country.
Well, and Pac, here's the other thing, too. If you're a head football coach in the ACC and you got a program that's got any kind of value to it at all, and you better keep a short list of guys that you might be interested in talking to if one of your coordinators or one of your assistants leave, right? I mean, you mentioned Jay Bateman at Carolina. And Mack Brown did a phenomenal job building that staff because Jay Bateman had had great success with Jeff Munkin at Army. He had worked for Pete Limbo prior to that at Ball State. He had been with Limbo a long time. In fact, the timing situation on Jay Bateman being a head coach just hasn't connected yet. To me, he's one of those guys like a handful of guys in the ACC could have been a head coach a long time ago. And it just didn't. It didn't connect maybe with the institution where the vacancy was or whatever the case may be. But if you're a coach right now in the ACC and you lose a coordinator, you'd probably be wise to be like an athletic director who, if he loses a head coach, has that short list. Well, guess what? If you're a coach, you ought to have a short list of guys you'd want to talk to replace a coordinator or maybe a position coach. Because I think ACC schools are that kind of destination now. Those are upper tier Power Five institutions. We talk about resources all the time from a facility perspective, certainly competitive from a pay perspective. I think that's why you see when a coordinator job comes open or something happens, it's not hard to attract, you know, good candidates in here. And I think that Mac showed that a year ago when he brought Phil Longo and some of these guys back. And let's be honest, Carolina has probably put together a staff that, you know, a year ago we didn't know a lot about, and now you're sitting there going, well, wait a second. Mac really did have a really good feel for what he wanted, that mix between guys like Longo and Bateman, but he also wanted to have the Tommy Thigpens and the Dre Blies, you know, who had played for him too in Chapel Hill. And, you know, I think that's kind of the methodology that some of these guys use too.
Well, I think timing is absolutely spot on. I think it's true whether you're a head coach, assistant coach, a talk show host, whatever the case may be, and you're looking for the right fit to your next move. And, you know, I go to the team right now who's been the most successful, and that's Clemson. And Jeff Scott has had multiple opportunities. But, you know, South Florida opens up, and, you know, Dabo and those guys are like, hey, this is a gig you got to take. I mean, you're in a fertile recruiting territory, facilities, you can win there. So the timing's got to be right. It can't just be, hey, I want to be a head coach, and, hey, a job opens up and I take it, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I'm in no man's land. I can't win here. So, I mean, it really is a delicate balance that the timing truly has to be right across the board, almost regardless of what you do for a living. So, but there's a number of, I think, superstar assistants in this league, and certainly keep an eye on as we move forward this upcoming college football season and beyond.
Wait a second. Now, you said there's a short list. Does that mean somebody has a short list for when they want to get rid of Packer and Durham, too?
Oh, sure. No question about that.
Yeah. No, that's kind of what I thought, too.
Yeah. We'll be lucky to make it to 10 a.m. at this rate. But before we do, though, our next guest is one of my favorite players in the league. So I am excited about what's coming up.
Yeah. We're going to bring the heat when we come back. Arguably the hardest hitter Pittsburgh football seen in 25 years. Steel City native Paris Ford next with Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Packer and Durham.
Finally, we get one of my guys on here. Paris Ford, man, how you doing? Good morning.
How you doing? Good morning, man.
Well, I tell you what. Well, by the way, tell everybody where you are right now. Where are you?
I'm at a ballpark at a school named Duquesne.
You working out? You getting ready, aren't you?
No question. I got my spikes right next to me.
I love it, man. I tell you what, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed watching you play. I've even texted back with your head coach multiple times last season. I said, my man Paris Ford back there is wearing people out. Man, just keep up the good work, man. I love watching you play.
Thank you, man. It means a lot. Thank you.
Hey, Paris, you had to make a decision last winter now, and everybody knows, I mean, to come back, and you were in a spot where there was some value for you at the next level, yet I know being from Pittsburgh matters. I know playing for the institution matters. Take me through kind of that and what this offseason has been like and all the changes. What's that done for you?
Well, this pandemic, it messed up the world kind of. I mean, it just kind of knocked off timing, but I would say I didn't lose a step. I know that for sure. I still been working out, training hard, eating right. But lifetime don't wait on no one. You know, you got to get up and get it each and every day. So, I mean, I just got to keep going and keep pushing. We Paris, all do as one.
Paris, this defense that's coming back for 2020, I mean, I know we're going to brag about you, but, man, those big boys up front on that defensive line are no joke. I think you're going to be even better on that side of the ball this year, given the health of everybody, what's come back. And I know everybody's talking about North Carolina and Virginia Tech and Miami always gets love. And I said this the other day. I said, everybody's sleeping on Pitt. That defense is nasty. Going to be salty.
Yeah, we got a lot of players coming back due to injury, man. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but I know this year will be a heck of a year for our defense, and we just can't wait to keep playing with each other and getting better and also learning from one another. This year will definitely be crazy. As you see, Jalen Twyman, Rashad Weaver, Keyshawn Kemp, Patrick Jones, our D-line will be loaded. Man, I just can't wait to get back with my brothers, and this season will definitely be special for us as one.
Paris, we were talking yesterday about a team that only brings 15 starters back and yet seven on defense, but we all know about Rashad. He got hurt last year in the preseason. Keyshawn obviously battled injury as well. But you and Damari Mathis really give Coach Narduzzi a chance to have some veteran presence in that secondary. How valuable is that going to be given the way the offseason has been a little awkward?
Me and Damari, being older guys, been through the system, so I feel like having us back, we could definitely like share knowledge with the young guys coming in, the young freshmen. Whatever they want to learn, I hope they're just ready to learn, just soak up the information we teach them like a sponge. Because college, you learn faster than high school. So, I mean, having us in the back end, being veterans, is a big help for the team and Coach Narduzzi as well.
Paris, your coach told me what a good dude you are. I mean, I love to watch you play, but he told me what a great kid you are, which really made me smile. You just mentioned the fact you got your spikes, you've been eating right. And I follow you on Twitter, and I saw the other day that you had mentioned a place called C&D's Kitchen. Now, what's the story on C&D's Kitchen?
C&D's Kitchen, that's my auntie and my uncle's shop located in Hazelwood. If you ever come to Pittsburgh, I'll be sure that me and you go there. I'll be sure me and you go to C&D's Kitchen, man. It's definitely some good food to have, man.
I know. What's your go-to there? Because let me tell you something. When Pittsburgh's in that ACC championship game down here in Charlotte where I'm located, I'm going to take you to Mertz Heart and Soul or Nana Morrison's, and you and I are going to be breaking some bread. I'll pay for it because it's not going to be an NCAA violation. So what's the go-to at C&D's Kitchen when you walk in there?
I'll say the chicken and waffles, man. It's definitely a hit, man. That's my preferred favorite.
Oh man, you're making me hungry this morning. Chicken and waffles.
Wait a second.
Are you kidding me? That's why I know you and I are kindred spirits, man. We've never met. I love the way you play. And when I saw C&D Kitchen, I said, man, if we ever get Paris Ford on the show, we're going to be talking about breaking some bread. We're going to get some cornbread, some black eyed peas. We're going to do it right, my man. You and me.
Wait a second. Hang on. Pack. Yeah. Paris Ford just talked about eating right, and then you asked him about some place where he said the best thing to get is chicken and waffles. Paris, is chicken and waffles eating right now?
Yeah, it's eating right.
Pitt has a great dietitian program in Miss Jen, so I mean, she'll always get me right whatever I need, so... A cheat day won't hurt.
I love it. Hey, and we look ahead to 2020, and the NCAA football committee yesterday approved that 6-week practice plan. And you talk about the veteran guys you've got on defense. And I know Kenny Pickett's taking a lot of snaps. A.J. Davis is back at running back. You guys have got some, you know, talented wide receiver. Jimmy's back in the offensive line. And Pack has said this before, and a lot of people are talking about North Carolina and Virginia Tech and things of that nature. But it seems you guys fly under the radar here the last couple of years. What's the key integer to pushing it over the top for Pittsburgh here in 2020 as you get ready to start this offseason program?
I feel like this year we got all the pieces to the puzzle back. We got to take it one game at a time, whether we're playing against Alabama or North Carolina. Whoever's on the schedule, that's who's up. And we just have to really just unite as a team and keep bonding and building the chemistry. And I feel like we could take this. This can be a historical season for the Panthers.
Speaking of historical, right now we're watching student-athletes take ownership, having a platform. I'm sure you have paid attention to what's happened at Florida State and Clemson within the ACC of student-athletes going, hey, listen, we have a voice. We have a chance to make a change. What's been going through your mind here the last couple of weeks watching our country with the racial and social injustice and the fact that as a student-athlete, a prominent player on top of it, you really do have leverage and a chance to voice your opinion on multiple issues?
It's been crazy, man, out here in these last couple months. I definitely been praying a lot. I can say honestly, man, it's been going on for a while, but we only control the controllables, man. I mean, we all got to unite as one for this problem to get solved. It's not a white-black thing or a green and yellow thing. It's an all-is-one-unite type of thing. And I feel like if we do that, the world can be a much peaceful place.
Paris, why do you think student-athletes in particular – have had such a strong presence in this? I mean, you're a successful guy. You're a Pittsburgh native who plays for the hometown team. I mean, you've grown up in that area. You would know better than maybe somebody from Florida exactly how all of this discussion impacts that city. But why does a student athlete feel compelled? Why do younger people, do you think, feel more motivated, more activated in this movement?
I mean, like you said, this is a time where we can use our platforms as student athletes. Because I'm sure there's multiple stories out there that people probably don't feel like sharing or comfortable sharing, but I mean, this is the time to do it, and I feel like everyone's just trying to take an advantage of that.
Paris, from my standpoint, the sweetest uniforms in the ACC belong to you boys. All right, I mean, the combos are sick. What is your favorite? What's your favorite go-to Pitt uni?
I'll say the white jerseys with the yellow pants and yellow helmets. Ooh. I definitely like that fit. It really doesn't matter because I'm not a fancy type of player. Whatever we're going out there to wear, man, that's where we're going to go kick some butt in.
Love it. I love it. This guy's my guy. I'm telling you, this is my guy right here.
All right, Paris, I got one last thing for us because you've been so good with us in previous visits. This past off season, the NCAA Football Rules Committee put a rule in, a brand new rule for the 2020 season. And I have said to people, this is called the Paris Ford rule. Because now when a player gets ejected for targeting, he does not have to leave the field. And last year at Duke, we had this call, albeit controversial. Packers still salty about it. I know you are too. And you got ejected from the ball game. And I know maybe it wasn't the most distinguished exit in college football, but they've now called that off. In all honesty, this was the right thing to do, in my opinion. The player who, regardless of an ejection or not, the player should not be sent from the field. I just never thought that looked right. What do you think about that?
Well, for one, I'm glad that they changed that rule. I mean, I feel like that was kind of overdoing it by kicking the guy out. But, I mean, those targeting calls, if you know me, you know my intentions is never to hurt someone. I'm always trying to hype up my teammates, as you see me doing. It's just hyping up my teammates. I'm an emotional type of guy when I play football. This is an emotional game. And, I mean, the type of player I am, I just know one speed and one speed only. And I'm never intentionally trying to hurt someone. But if you cross the middle, there's definitely a price you got to pay. You always got to have your head on the swivel as a receiver. But I'm happy.
Paris, let me tell you something about that Duke hit. Shoulder to shoulder. It was about as clean as it gets, my man. I went bonkers watching. I said, you cannot throw the flag on that. You cannot take 12 out of the game. And if you want to be a ref, you walk up to him and say, so that was close. But, you know, cause like you just said, there's a difference between wanting to level somebody out and take their head off versus going ahead and hitting somebody in the next week, right? That's it.
Absolutely.
I'm with you. You're my guy. You are my guy in the ACC, man. And I can't wait to break bread with you.
I appreciate that.
All right.
I can't wait. I'm holding you to that meal in Charlotte, too, man.
Listen, I'm telling you, I'll let you make the call when Pitt gets the ACC championship game. And, again, I'm buying because I don't want to violate any NCAA rules. I mean, you got to buy your side.
I'll
buy my side. I don't want to create an NCAA problem. But Mertz, Hart, and Soul, or Nana Morrison's, I'll let you make the call, and you and I'll go break bread before the ACC title game.
That sounds good, man.
Keep up the good work,
Paris,
man.
Great to have you with us, my man. You're always a blessing to visit with. We stay well, stay healthy, and we look forward to seeing what happens when camp begins. Tell Coach Narduzzi hello for us, and we'll talk soon.
I will do. Thank you guys for having me, man. Thank you.
Keep up the good
work. Absolutely. Paris Ford, the safety from the Pitt Panthers, one of the hardest players they've seen in a long time and one of the big stars returning to ACC football here in 2020. Coming up, our first installment, by the way, of the video mailbag here on Packer in Durham. You can submit your questions. We go horizontal with this, not vertical. Hashtag it Packer in Durham and submit your questions. We're going to get to some questions when we come back. Don't forget, very quickly, a reminder to you, an important program coming up next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, all new Women in the ACC, the 48th anniversary of the historic Title IX ruling, a 24-hour marathon of classic women's sports. ESPNW presents When We Play next Tuesday night, and the all new Women in the ACC is at 7 o'clock. Kelsey Riggs hosts right here on ACC Network. So, when we come back, ahead of our 9 o'clock special announcement.
Oh, boy.
Wait a second. Nobody said anything about striping the rock. Hacker and Durham's video mailbag. Early submissions coming next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. May thanks to my favorite, Paris Ford, just joined us. He's now getting to work. He better start working, because I tell you what, when we start eating that cornbread, greens, fried chicken. Listen, what? I don't want to get Pat Narduzzi mad at me when Paris comes in a couple pounds heavy after we go out to eat before the ACC championship
game. Can I just say something that, you know, he talked to you about working out and eating right, and then all of a sudden you got him talking about chicken and waffles at C&D's. I mean, what are you doing?
What are you talking about? That's what I do. What do you mean? What am I talking about? That's exactly what I do. In fact, at 10 a.m. when we say goodbye, guess what I'm going to go have?
Breakfast?
Chicken and waffles. It sounds delicious. Are you kidding me? That's why I told you, Paris Ford and I are like kindred spirits.
Yeah.
We have a connection. Okay. We've never met, but we have a connection. All right.
On behalf of everybody affiliated with Packer and Durham, I'm glad that you clarified you'd be buying your own meal and Paris would be buying his own meal to avoid any sort of NCAA sanction on the network.
Right. I want to make that perfectly clear. When we go out to eat, he's got to buy his, I got to buy mine, because that is an NCAA violation. I'm not going to get anybody in trouble. I promise. I promise.
All right. Special announcement coming up at 9 a.m. And by the way, the first installment of the Packer and Durham video mailbag. Now, we ask you to submit your video questions, maybe comments too. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. We're looking for video via the Twitter, and we want those horizontal, not vertical. And up first, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Will, you're on deck with Packer and Durham.
What's up, Wes and Mark? I was just wondering, since Dave Doran's caught the recruiting trail pretty hot, has he bought himself more time, even if this year isn't what he thinks it's going to be? Also, two-part question. Can y'all fix this swing?
Okay. Let's go the first part question first. Let's talk about Dave Doran and the Wolfpack, and then we'll let you play Bob Toski in just a moment, okay?
Bob Toski. Good grief. What? Is that a dated reference? Or Bob Toski? Oh, my goodness.
Just trying to bring the demographics down. You know how we're doing it.
The over and under. Is Bob Toski even alive? I don't even know if he's alive.
Right, let's answer the Dave Doran question. The Dave Doran question.
Please, let's go there.
Changing coordinators. We've talked about that, but the schedule and everything else involved, everything bad that could have happened to the Wolfpack last year happened, right?
Well, they're coming off a lousy year, and Dave Doran will be the first one to tell you that. You got North Carolina, your arch rival, red hot in terms of recruiting. I don't think NC State can afford a downer. I mean, you know, last year, nobody predicted that kind of season for NC State. You're coming off back-to-back years where you won 9. You thought, hey, maybe we've turned the corner, taken it to another level, and also you take a major step backwards. Early game at Louisville, the Mississippi State game, I told you this months ago. I think those two games out of the gate early September, again, first game and then the game in Raleigh with Mississippi State and Mike Leach coming to town, are critical games for NC State and their fan base. I mean, you want to kind of feel that, hey, last year, hey, happens. Rearview mirror, done, behind us. Now let's move forward. Louisville feels good about their program. Mississippi State's an SEC team, going to be excited about the road trip with Mike Leach. I think those two games, to me, are kind of litmus tests for Dave Doran and NC State and their fan base. I don't think NC State can afford another stinker year. I really don't.
All right, I'm going to go. I think Devin Leary's best friend at quarterback can be, and I thought Roddy Jones mentioned this, Bam Knight and Jordan Houston at running back. I think Kerry Angeline at tight end. Emeka Mezzi needs to come back and have a better year than he had a season ago. I'd add Thayer Thomas into that mix as well. Remember, Pack, these guys, it's pretty good offensive line coming back too for the Wolfpack. So let's kind of see where they go. I mean, Leary may be the finishing piece to kind of getting that thing back up and running for Tim Beck and George McDonald. Beck, by the way, one of the new OCs.
I would just say this on June 18th, and I'm allowed to change my mind once we get to camp and see a game. But I think if you do, if you're honest and say, all right, let me just kind of figure out the Atlantic, who's in front of NC State? I'm going to ask you the question. Who do you think is in front of NC State? We would all agree Clemson. I think Florida State is. I think Louisville is. I think Wake Forest right now would be a team that you'd say is probably in a better spot than NC State. Doesn't mean that they're going to beat them. But I think you could go three or four teams deep in the Atlantic today that you think are better than NC State until proven otherwise.
Yeah, based on the last look, I think that's fair. But at the same time, too, they might be the most volatile commodity in the Atlantic, right? Based on their ability, their success, and coming off the season they had. If they make that move early, fortunes can change pretty quick, right?
Well, that's why I said Louisville right out of the gate is a huge game for both. Mississippi State, non-conference game of note in September at home. You got to win games like that. I mentioned to you yesterday, I think Syracuse and NC State are the two teams in the Atlantic who had seasons last year that they want to forget about, but it should also be a catalyst for all of them, players and coaches and fans, to say, guess what? Hey, we had a bad year. No big deal. Let's get on to 2020 and have a great year. So those two teams, I'm very curious to see how they respond coming off lousy years in Syracuse and NC State.
All right. Before we get to the break, another mailbag question.
Whoa. What about part two of the big swing? Will, what is swing?
I forgot. Toski at work. Let's look at Will's swing there. Ooh, Pack. What do you see there, Toski?
It seems like the hands are a little late. That shot went right. And he's on the wrong side of the ball. That's what, by the way, I was told that Toski's alive. I'm glad to hear that. That would be my breakdown of that swing. Can we help that swing? No, we can't help that swing.
Well, you just did. You said the hands were late.
Well, you asked me a question. I mean, what do you want me to do? Sit here and have another sip of water?
Yeah, sure. It's water. All right. We got time for one more maybe in this segment. Joe in California with the mailbag question.
Hey, guys. My name is Joe, and I'm from California. I enjoy watching the show bright and early every morning. I got a question. If you guys can go back to any golf event in history and be there in person, what would it be? Again, I enjoy the show. Thanks, guys.
That's a good question.
All right. First of all, Joe points for wearing a Dan Le Batard T-shirt.
True.
While asking the question. Point number two, did I hear a child in the background crying or asking or – okay, yeah. Okay, you're first on this. What golf event would you go back to?
I'm going to go back to one that I actually attended. I'm going to go back to the 1992 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, only because I love Pebble Beach. And the wind was blowing about 75 miles an hour, and watching the greatest players in the world. I watched Davis Love hit like a 4-iron on number 7, 100 yards straight downhill. That was one of the most fun, entertaining days to be in that part of the world, which is gorgeous, and to watch the greatest players in the world hitting it sideways. It was just spectacular.
If I had a choice, I'd go to the 86 Masters. I remember watching Sunday at the Masters with my dad in 1986, and my dad's excitement and enthusiasm level for Jack Nicklaus that day was unbelievable. And It was an amazing experience as a kid. Well, I was a kid. I was 20 at the time. But to watch my dad watch Jack Nicklaus win the Masters in 1986 is the warmest golf memory I have. And I would want to go back to that if I could. So, but it's a great question. We got more for our second video mailbag segment, plus your submissions. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. And, again, unlike Will with the golf swing where apparently the hands were late, We want to go horizontal, not vertical. All right. Sit tight. When we come back, special announcement coming up, and the All-America forward from Louisville, Jordan Wara, going to join Packer and Durham to kick off hour number two on this Thursday. Jordan Wara is going to the league. We'll talk to him about what that experience has been like. It's been a little weird, to say the least. And the draft doesn't happen until, good heavens, middle of the fall. Back after this.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.